Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7. We'll read the first 20 verses of Matthew 7. Part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 20. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. I'll draw attention to, in the sermon, to verses 7 and 8. But we read that passage in connection with Lord's Day 45 of the Catechism. Lord's Day 45. Questions and Answers 116 to 119, found on page 25 in the back of the Psalters, begin the Catechism's instruction concerning prayer. I'll read those questions and answers. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness, which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word, for all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, so that we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. What are the words of that prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, how important is prayer in your life? And how important is prayer in my life? Do you count it as absolutely necessary? If a husband or a wife did not talk to each other, you would say something is dreadfully wrong in that marriage. But so also is it the case as our speaking to God in prayer. If a saint does not habitually speak to God in prayer, we would rightly conclude there's something wrong with that saint. So how is your spiritual health? Do you pray often? I went to the doctor not so long ago to get a checkup. And one of the first things they do is check your vital signs. They check your pulse. They check your blood pressure. So how is your spiritual pulse and how is my spiritual pulse? Are we those who pray often? Lord's Day 45 shows us the necessity of prayer. When it asks that question, why is prayer necessary for Christians? It simply assumes the necessity of prayer. It doesn't say, is prayer necessary for Christians? But why is prayer necessary for Christians? And the answer, of course, is not because prayer earns anything for us, but because God gives to us prayer as the chief part of our thankfulness. That's the way the Catechism answers that. It is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. And why is prayer necessary? And the second reason is that God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray for those things and who are thankful when God gives those things to us. I read Matthew 7 because it forms part of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount and contains instruction on prayer. It's striking how much of the Sermon on the Mount. Here's a good exercise if you have time this afternoon. Go through the Sermon on the Mount. It's not long. And see how much time Jesus spends speaking about prayer. How much of the whole prayer or the whole sermon does Jesus spend talking about prayer? That tells us something about the importance of prayer. Jesus gives negative instruction how our prayers ought not to be. We ought not to be like the hypocrites who pray so that we will be seen, who pray so that we will be thought of in a certain way. And we ought not to be like the heathen either, who use vain repetitions. They think if they repeat over and over the same things, they will get what they ask for. And then Jesus gives positive instruction. He tells His disciples, when you pray, pray like this. He gives the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Not, of course, that we need always to use those exact words, but He gives us the elements. These are the things that we ought to include in our prayers. And then in chapter 7, He picks up the subject again when He exhorts His disciples in verses 7 and 8, ask. He's speaking about prayer. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus clearly thought that His disciples needed to learn how to pray. And that instruction comes to us as well. We still need to learn. We have much to learn in the school of prayer. So we begin the catechism's instruction with the theme, the importance of prayer. Let's note in the first place the necessity, looking in particular at question and answer 116, then the requirements, that's the idea of that word requisites. What are the requisites? What are the requirements of that prayer, which is acceptable to God? And then the contents of that prayer that God commands us to pray. Is it not true that one of the first things to slip in our lives when things get busy, is it not true that prayer is one of those things? We busy ourselves, and we all do this, we busy ourselves in trivial things. We take time to catch up on all the news. We take time to engage in sporting activities. And I did that myself yesterday. We take time to spend with friends. And then we think to ourselves, but I don't have time to pray. So how much time did we spend in prayer this last week, if we added up all that time? It's significant that Jesus also assumes the necessity of prayer. When he says to his disciples, he doesn't say, if you pray, but when he gives instruction to them, he says, when you pray, pray this way. He assumes that they will be those who pray. And not only that, the very prayer itself that Jesus gives assumes that we will be engaged in regular prayer. When Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, does that not assume that we will be praying each day? So that already, the very petitions that he teaches us to ask imply that prayer is a regular aspect of the life of believers. When we pray, forgive us our debts, that assumes that we are constantly accumulating more debt. We are constantly sinning against our God. We constantly, on a regular basis, we need to be praying, forgive us our debts. And so it is also with lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There are all kinds of circumstances in our daily lives that we face temptations, and we don't want to sin against our God. The very petitions that Jesus teaches us to pray imply that prayer is a regular part of our lives. What do we find in Scripture? When we read of the saints, we find out about those godly saints in Scripture that they were those who engaged in regular prayer. We find that about Daniel, for example, godly Daniel, Daniel 6, verse 10. We read this, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the law that was written against prayer, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. That was Daniel's regular way that he operated. He prayed. He had set aside during the day particular times, 3 times a day. It wasn't just random, although that kind of prayer is good too. But he set aside regular time for prayer. Do you do that? And do I do that? Set aside regular time for prayer. The psalmist does the same. Psalm 55, verse 17, he says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The fact that prayer is assumed to be a regular part of the life of the child of God shows the necessity of prayer. The Catechism is explicit when it asks the question, why is prayer necessary for Christians? And certainly the reason that prayer is necessary, the reason is not because you and I have to inform God of our circumstances. It's not that God is up in heaven ignorant of what you and I face each day. That's not the necessity of prayer. God knows what we need even before the thought crosses our minds. Neither is prayer necessary because we have to go and earn something with God. But instead, far from having to earn something with God, when we pray, we're praying because we are looking to God's mercy. We are praying on the basis of the fact that God is a merciful God to us in Jesus Christ. And that goes directly against the idea that we need to earn anything with God through our prayers. Why is prayer necessary? The Catechism gives those two reasons. In the first place, because prayer is that chief part of thankfulness that God requires of us. If we are thankful to God for our salvation, we will tell Him in our prayers. We will say to God in our prayers, Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast saved wretches such as we are. We thank Thee for Thy gracious provision for us in Jesus Christ. We will express our thankfulness in prayer. But even when we ask for things in our prayers, when we pray to God, we will show our thankfulness by the very fact that we are praying to Him. And that's because prayer that grows out of a trustful heart shows the thankfulness of that trustful heart. Think about our earthly life. Children, maybe you go to your parents and you ask your parents for something, but does that not imply, if you ask your parents for something, does that not imply that you trust that they can give that to you and that they want to give that to you? So that request shows already a trust and a thankfulness. Or we go to the doctor when we are sick because we trust that he will be able to help us, or we hope that he will be able to help us. There's a certain trust. And so behind that trustful attitude is a certain thankfulness, an implicit thankfulness. When we pray to God with a trustful attitude, there's an implied thankfulness for all that God has provided in the past. Whenever we acknowledge that God is the fountain of all good, going to Him asking for our needs, we're acknowledging He is the one who can give those things to us. But there's an implicit thankfulness in that. Thou art the one who is able to supply all that we need for our bodies and souls. Prayer, that activity of prayer, shows an implicit thankfulness. The second reason that prayer is necessary is given in the Catechism when it says, and also. Why is prayer necessary? Because it's a chief part of thankfulness, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Those are strong words. God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who ask, and only to those who are thankful for the grace and the Holy Spirit that he gives. Of course, that's not talking about unbelievers. It's not talking about unbelievers, because unbelievers never would sincerely ask for grace and the Holy Spirit. An unbeliever is not going to ask for that. And neither will they ever be thankful for something they have not received. Obviously, the Catechism is speaking about believers. It's speaking about those who already have received the Holy Spirit, who have been regenerated and given faith so that we pray to God. We already have grace and we already have the Spirit, and therefore we ask for more. That's the idea of Jesus as well. When he speaks in that passage, Matthew 7, verse 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." He makes a comparison to earthly fathers. If an earthly father is asked by his child for something, he will give him that which is necessary. And then he says, "If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him?" Good things. And those good things are speaking especially about spiritual gifts. Well, why would we pray for those good things? Why would we pray? Luke speaks about praying for the Spirit. Why would we pray for the Spirit unless we had not also already received the Spirit? Why would we pray for grace unless we had already received grace? First, God gives us grace so that we ask for more grace. So Jesus says, ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be. There's the future. There is a shall be. Yes, God has given us grace already, but ask and God will also in the future give grace. And literally, we could translate that, be asking and it shall be given you. Be asking on a regular basis. Be seeking and you shall find. Be those who are knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. And of course, when Jesus says that, when we look back at our asking and seeking and our knocking, would we not say it was God that worked that in us? Why did you ask? Why did you seek? Why did you knock? Because of the grace that we have already received. So if someone says, "Well, I already have the Spirit, Why should I pray for the Spirit? I already have Him. But the fact of the matter is, there are measures. Jesus Christ received the Spirit and had the Spirit without measure. But we pray for the Spirit, for the grace of the Spirit, which we receive by measure. We don't have the perfection of grace yet. Otherwise, it makes no sense. In the previous Lord's Day, question and answer 115, the last part of the answer, it says, likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. So are we praying for that? Are we praying for grace and the Holy Spirit? The Catechism goes on in its instruction and shows the requirements of that prayer which is acceptable to God. We shouldn't think that any words that we utter are acceptable, that God is pleased with whatever we pray. No, God gives us instruction because He wants us to pray in a certain way. James 4, verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You ask, but you don't receive, because you're asking for the wrong things, and you're asking in the wrong way. It's possible to have a prayer that is not pleasing to God, or elements of prayer. So the Catechism asks that. What are the requisites of that prayer that is acceptable to God and which He will hear? The requisites are talking about those things that are necessary, those things that are requirements. And now we ought to say something about that. When we learn about these requirements, we ought to see that we all fall short. None of our prayers are ever perfect. But when we are united to Christ, when by God's grace we have been given the Holy Spirit, when our inmost mind is controlled by the Spirit, when we pray out of a consciousness that our life is in Christ, these things will be present in our prayers. Our prayers will contain these elements, but we receive this instruction so that we would grow in our prayer life. What is the most basic element that we from the heart pray to the one true God only? There are those in Christendom that teach that Muslims also pray to the true God, or Jews who don't believe in Jesus Christ also pray to the true God, but that is not the case. They pray to something they call God, but it's not the God of Scripture. We must pray to the one true God. And that means We're praying to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're praying in the name of Jesus Christ. So if there are other religions that say they pray to God, they are not praying to the triune God of Scripture. We must pray to the one true God. Well, if we have been united to Christ by His Spirit, we will pray to the one true God. And that is the God revealed in Scripture. That's why the Catechism adds that phrase, as or who hath manifested Himself in His Word. We ought to pray to the God, not only that God who has manifested Himself in His Word, but we ought to pray to Him according to the way that He has manifested Himself. Has God manifested Himself as a majestic God that is transcendent, far above us, perfectly righteous? Well, then we pray to Him with humility, that we who are creatures of the dust are able to go into His presence. That affects how we pray to Him. Pray to Him with fitting reverence. We don't joke around in our prayers. We pray with reverence. That's one reason why we use the King James language often in our prayers, because we find it helpful to bring ourselves into a reverent state of mind. Not that it's absolutely necessary, but that's something that is helpful to us. Has God revealed Himself as a God who hates sin? We pray to Him as those who are unworthy to be heard in ourselves. We come before Him as sinners into His presence, knowing that we come not in our own merits, but in the merits of Jesus Christ. Has God revealed Himself as a God who truly cares in Scripture, a God who provides for all of our needs? Then we pray to Him as He has revealed Himself in Scripture, confident that He will indeed give to us that which is necessary. He cares for us. Pray to the God that we know through His holy word. The Catechism goes on then to say that we ought to pray with our prayers ought to arise from sincere hearts, sincere affections and desires in our hearts. It's possible that you and I pray words and we don't really even mean them. If we just say the words, if those words just become automatic, it's possible that those words don't arise from sincere desires in our hearts. It's possible as well. Augustine speaks of the fact that he at one time prayed that God would make him chaste, but not yet. He acknowledged that while he was praying that prayer, make me chaste, make me pure, that deep down he didn't really want that because of the corruption of his flesh. We ought to pray with sincere desires. And when you detect that those desires are not sincere and they're never as sincere as they ought to be, we can add to our prayers, and make me sincere in this desire. We can pray, lead us not into temptation, and then walk right into a situation that's full of temptation. So God wants us to draw near to Him with a sincere heart. And if we have that, if we have a true heart renewed by God's grace, a heart that sincerely seeks after the living God, well, then we will come before Him with humility, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. We ought to see our neediness. When we come before God as sinners, we ought to see our neediness. Jesus says, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that be sick." Those who think we are perfectly whole, that we have it all made, that we have arrived as regards righteousness, we don't think we need the grace of God. But in fact, we ought to see ourselves as spiritual beggars who need God's grace every hour. Does that mean that we need to grovel in self-pity? No, we ought not to grovel in self-pity, but we ought to see we are unworthy in ourselves. We are unworthy of even the least of God's blessings. Whose prayers will God answer? Isaiah 66, verse 2, God says this, "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." We ought to come with humility, but humility, you understand, does not mean a lack of confidence. When we see our sins, maybe we're tempted to say, "God won't answer me now because I'm not sincere enough. God won't answer me now because I'm not sorry enough for my sins. God won't answer me now because I'm not good enough." We may be tempted to think that, but that would be a serious mistake. Yes, we ought to be humble before God because of our sins and sinfulness, but we also ought to come with confidence. And that the Catechism addresses as well. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, He will hear us. Why will He hear us? Why should we go with such confidence that God will hear those prayers? For Christ's sake. He will hear our prayers for Christ's sake. That's the confidence that we have in our prayers. So that, yes, we go to God, expressing our unworthiness, but also with confidence. Well, then we will pray also, when we are confident God gives us what we ask, we will pray as He has commanded us to pray, for those things that he has commanded us to ask for. That's question and answer 118. All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord hath comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. This is the confidence. John, 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." When you and I ask, beloved, we should ask for those things God has commanded us to ask. There are desires that enter our hearts that we ought not ask for. When we lust after riches, we don't go and ask for God to give us riches now, but rather we ask him to forgive us for those wrong desires. There are desires that we have that we ought not to ask for. Lord, please help me win the lottery. We ought not to ask for that because we ought not to be participating in that. Help me not to get caught in this or that sin. We ought not to ask for those things. Whenever we ask to fulfill our sinful lusts, we ask amiss. So God instructs us. What ought we to ask for? Well, God gives us those things, instructs us concerning that, all those things that are necessary for our souls and body. In that order. First, for those things that are necessary for our souls, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look for those things first that are a blessing to our souls, because our spiritual needs are most important. Forgive us our debts, because we need that declaration. We need that forgiveness of sins. We ought to ask for those things that are good for us spiritually, the grace to persevere through trials, faith to believe God's promises. Ask when we see that our faith is wavering. Ask. Love to be compassionate to those who are needy when we are so selfish by nature. God would have us ask for those things. Wisdom to deal with difficult circumstances. And who does not face difficult circumstances? If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all liberally. Ask for those things, especially then, that are for our spiritual good, but also for the needs of the body. We ought to ask that God give us health and daily food and drink, that God would give us peace and protection. All those things that are necessary for life. We ought to ask for them. And yet, we do have to be careful with that, because sometimes those physical things are not always profitable for us. It may, in fact, when we pray that God give us health, that God give relief from some chronic pain or condition that we have, it may be most profitable that he not give us those things. It may be that God even takes our very life away and brings us into glory. And so, to pray properly, when we pray for those things, we add to our prayers, "If it be thy will." If it be thy will, grant safe travel. If it be thy will, grant that this operation would be successful. If it be thy will. And then we know God will answer that prayer. If it be his will, he will give what is according to his will. Grant, O Lord, those things that are necessary for our souls and our bodies. Well, now the catechism in the next coming Lord's Days is going to treat the various petitions of the Lord's Prayer that show us those things that are necessary for our bodies and our souls. May it be our prayer that God would grant us to see the importance of prayer. May we see the importance, and may we be those who pray to the glory of his name and for our good. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are all weak creatures of the dust, so that even that holy exercise of prayer, even in that exercise, we fall far short. How often we are distracted in our prayers. How often we fail to pray. How often we pray with insincerity. Forgive us, we pray. And teach us, that we might be those who pray to thee and who see thy answer and are thankful for that answer to prayer. Lead and guide us by thy Spirit now, we pray, that we might bring honor and glory to thy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.